Let's get it. We're live. We're live. Come on in the room. Come on in the room. Yo, this is that new APX, guys. This is that new APX. Y'all better go get that new APX single. That new APX single just came out called Lucid Dreams 2.0. Y'all better go stream it, download it, Spotify, all that stuff. That new APX. Go check out the new video right here on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. But we're here. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We are here doing the late night chop up like we usually do. Today's show is brought to you by Wilshire Financial. If you need $150K or more for any worthy business project, they can help. They can give you loan approvals within 24 to 48 hours and funding within 5 days or less. Wilshire Financial will handle all the details from start to finish. Give them a call at 702-747-5648. They have experts on standby waiting to answer your question. Also, today's show is brought to you by a new book by author Tyrus McKnight called Remember That Summer. It's available on Amazon and Kindle. It's about a beautiful, raw, and emotional poem book that this brother has that showcases the heart of love. It's not some J. Slim stuff. It's not creepy. Shout out to J. Slim. But these are real romantic poems from our brother Tyrus McKnight. And you can get his book, Remember That One Summer, right now on Amazon and Amazon Kindle, ladies and gentlemen. So everybody, while you're coming on in the room, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We're going to take that quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, while everybody's piling on in the room. And we will be right back after these messages. So don't move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game. Jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at beardtreeoilandherbs.com. That's beardtreeoilandherbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas, called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com. Our children are influenced by many things in this world, and music is one of them. If you're worried about your children listening to music that promotes sex, drugs, and violence, then introduce them to Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that combines hip-hop and cartoons to teach children math, science, and language arts, and much, much more. Gifted and Lit also has an amazing new home workout program called Gifted and Fit. This program combines social, emotional, learning, and physical fitness to help families get in shape together. Order right now and use the coupon code Tariq to save 10% off on your next order. Go to giftedandlit.com right now and join the movement.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shark, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. To the left, to the left. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Glad y'all tuning in on the late night creep. We're doing the late night broadcast, so we're chilling. Y'all chilling. Shout out to everybody on the East Coast. What y'all doing up this late? So, it's midnight out there on the East Coast. So what y'all doing up? If you're listening to me, are you out there doing something strange for a little piece of change? Are you scouring the streets looking for meats? What y'all doing out there this time of night on a Wednesday? What's going on, man? I'm glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to have a real chill broadcast tonight. By the way, y'all know our new EP, the Mink Slide EP, Funk on Wheels. That is coming out next week. I need y'all to hit that iTunes link right below. If you're watching me on YouTube, hit that iTunes link and pre-order right now the new EP, Funk on Wheels. If you order now, you'll get it half off. You will get the EP half off. It'll be full price if you get it on the day of the release, which is October 1st. But if you get it now, it will be half off. So pre-order right now, ladies and gentlemen. Get this EP, man. Funky EP. And we're going to have a live broadcast next Thursday to premiere the... We have another video. You guys have already seen Phone Down, which has over 130,000 views within the past couple of days. Man, that thing is going viral. People love that video. They love the throwback vibe to it. And next week we're going to debut one of our up-tempo cuts called Slide to You. It's a real fun video, real fun song that's on the EP. We're going to debut that on the night of the release of the whole EP. So you guys need to tune in here to check out that broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We got to give a special rest in power to the OG, Melvin Van Peebles. Melvin Van Peebles died today. He was 89 years old. Triple OG. That was my guy. Melvin, they call him the father of modern black cinema. Melvin did the movie Sweet Sweetback Badass Song, where he financed himself. He got money from Bill Cosby, and he just got a lot of money from the grassroots and other people within the community. and he financed a movie called Sweet Sweetback that was a smash hit. It was a, you know, when you look at the movie now, it was a kind of crude looking film, but at the time it was very revolutionary because he did it outside of the studio system, and it showed that there was an audience for black music when he put, not black music, but black movies. At the time the movie came out, this was a time where white flight was big. All the white people moved to the suburbs and the movie industry was kind of hurting. Black folks, there weren't really any good movies that black people wanted to go see. But then this brother did the movie Sweet Sweetback about a black revolutionary that was on the run, and people, brothers and sisters, flocked to the theaters. Then Hollywood said, hey, wait a minute. We got a whole new genre here that we can exploit. And that's where the term blaxploitation came from. White Hollywood started cranking out all of these cheap black movies because they knew black people were very thirsty for black films. Yeah, so that created the blaxploitation genre. Now, a lot of people don't like to call it blaxploitation because a lot of black people did get work, and a lot of black people said, well, shit, we got a chance to put our name out there. We got to act. We got paid. So it wasn't really exploitive. And we can look at it from that perspective. But, you know, he was our brother Melvin was an inspiration to a lot of black filmmakers, including myself. And I knew Melvin. Melvin helped me out with some deals before. And real solid dude, real stand-up dude. So rest in power to that brother, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to have to discuss on tonight's broadcast. I need some advice from the family. I need some advice. And by the way, everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. Y'all see that thumbs up right there? Hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. And then hit the subscribe button. Now, right now, we're still working on getting the museum. We're still working on getting the museum. There were some things that were in the works. And there's some real funny style stuff going on with the folks on Crenshaw Boulevard. There's a lot of funny style stuff behind the scenes, and I don't say that as a complaint. That's just part of the game. You know, that's not going to deter us from doing what we need to do. But we are looking for some other locations for the museum because there's some real funny style stuff going on, and I'll get into that a little bit later, not at this juncture. But we're looking at some other spots because I got to really focus on getting this museum. Really, I want to get it within this month. We thought we had everything really lined up, and we actually did, but there's some real funny shit going on on Crenshaw Boulevard with the way they're handling the real estate. It's a handful of white people who own damn near everything on Crenshaw. It's like a family. It's like one particular family, and different people have different trusts and different companies, and they're all clicked in, and they're all on this real funny style code. And the black political class down there in that area, I don't really want to badmouth them. I'm not going to say anything about them at this juncture, but a lot of the shit that's going on out there, the black political class, they need to speak out against that shit because they know it's some funny style stuff going on with these people who own the real estate. Because there's several of us black folks, we're going into these venues with cash in hand, and these people are selling property and selling buildings at a lower price just so we don't get them. That shit is going on out there heavy on Crenshaw, dude. I'm telling y'all, but that I'm not saying that as a complaint. We're still going to get a damn building. Let's be clear. We're still going to get a building. Let's be very clear. We're going to get a building. Don't even trip. We're going to get a building, and we're going to get a damn museum. I'm not saying that as a complaint whatsoever. We're going to do that. We're going to get that popping. Exactly. A lot of people already knew some of the games they were going to play. They played the same game with Nipsey. That is what it is. But we're still going to get this museum. Let's be very clear. We're looking at other places. My biggest concern is about getting a place where good parking is. I'm big on parking. There's a lot of other spots that we saw that was off Crenshaw and some other places. The parking is horrible. We're looking in a lot of other places. And what was interesting, I called one place, and this is why I let my real estate people kind of handle a lot of things. because I got a white real estate guy. I had a few people, but I had a white real estate guy who's very, very white. I mean, lily white. So I have him doing a lot of searching and getting information. He's a very good dude as far as getting information, because he let me know the real deal about what's going on with all these families who own the property on Crenshaw. He was able to get a whole bunch of information that nobody else really would have gotten. He got a lot of information and gave me the rundown on a lot of stuff. You understand? And yeah, if haters, don't worry about no haters. We're getting this thing. This ain't even nothing to hate on. If a motherfucker's gonna hate, they just gonna hate. But we're gonna get this thing. But I usually like my real estate guy to kind of go in and talk, because I call one place, one venue, and you know, when they saw that I was a black person, boy, they got a little condescending. I got a little offended. I was like, yes, I wanted to get some more information about the property, and I wanted to do a walkthrough, and I wanted to schedule. And the white guy was like, well, you know that it's you do realize that the property is $4.5 million, don't you? Yeah, I do know that. Are you prepared to make that kind of, I mean, he was talking like, and I'm looking at the phone like, dude, dude, I got it. Yeah, I got it. You know, that type of thing. Yeah, you know, that type of thing. So that is what it is. Yeah. But we're going to get this thing. We're going to get it. Yeah, you can still contribute. Yeah, he was like talking very slow, like letting me know, like, is 4.5 million. Are you ready for that? Can you do that? I'm like, dude, I wouldn't call you. I'm thinking this. I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, dude, I wouldn't call you if I didn't have the money to get the damn venue. You understand? So we're dealing with that type of stuff, but that's okay. I'm not tripping on that. But we're foundational black Americans. We have to play past a lot of stuff. We have to play past stuff, and we're going to play past stuff. Just like our folks did back in the day, when a lot of black folks wanted to buy property in certain parts of LA, they had to go get them white real estate agents to go in there and keep their mouths shut about who was buying. And same thing with Harlem. Harlem became black because of a sister. What was our sister's name? Hannah Elias. It was a black woman, Hannah Elias, who was in the game. She was a hustler. And another black real estate person, Hannah Elias, was real rich. She's a rich black woman who was finessing these white men. And so she became one of the first black millionaires. They say it's Madam C.J. Walker. It was not Madam C.J. Walker. Hannah Elias was a millionaire during the early 1900s. She was getting money from these white dudes. The woman, she lived on Park Avenue. So the white folks was real tight about that shit. But it was her and another black real estate developer that really, they reverse gentrified Harlem. Harlem used to be white. Harlem used to be a white area. So they started going in there, sending white real estate agents in there, getting up that land, and then moving black people in there. So, you know, we had to do what we had to do to go in and get in where we fit in. So as we're getting this museum, I'm learning that I gotta be kind of quiet about what we're trying to do, because when we contact people, I'm not even telling them it's a black history spot. I'm just saying it's an art museum at this point. I'm saying it's an art museum. You know, I'm being very vague about what we're trying to do. You know, we're going to have to play past the bulls. Yeah, Harlem is white again, by the way. So I gotta, this week, I'm looking at some other properties this week out in certain parts of LA, and I'm meeting with some real estate folks to buy some of these properties. And this is where I need advice. Family, I'm gonna have to go in there and buck my eyes a little bit. I'm gonna go in there, because the problem with me, I'm very pro-black, and I walk with a pro-black swagger. And I got to play this game, and I got to play it correctly. So I'm going to have to tone that down. So family, I'm going to have to buck my eyes a little bit. So I need some coon tips. How can I look and act more like I'm in the sunken place? I don't want to just go full coon, but I want to go into some of these meetings with these white people, because I don't really do business with white people like that. But now I have to go in and do business with them. And I don't want to seem intimidating with my confident black swagger. So I need to throw some coon hints so they might think I'm a low-key coon. So what's some advice? What kind of clothes can I wear? I was thinking about walking in there with a MAGA hat, but is that too much? I really need some tips on some coon clothes. Thinking about wearing a suit with some flip-flops, just some kind of coonish, but just not over the top. Where does Larry Elder get his clothes? I need some tips. I was thinking about going up there with Jesse Lee Peterson. I was like, Jesse, I was thinking literally, some of y'all are talking about Jesse Lee Peterson while you, I'm not going to go into acting moist now. Somebody said, put on a dress. No, I ain't going to go in there on that now, because they might think I'm trying to catch. I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to go full moist. If I go in there with a dress and a sundress and some flip-flops, oh, they'll give me the building for free. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to do the dress, but I gotta put on some coon trinkets. What do I have? What can I do? Anybody knows a barber who can fuck up a hairline? Should I mess my hairline up a little bit? I'm trying to figure out what I need to do to go just looking a little bit coonish, to just give them a hint. Somebody, do I need an ascot and one of Roland Martin's kente cloth Lane Bryant muumuus? Do I need to go in there with that? I just need to know what could look a little coonish to kind of give them a little, oh, he might be one of our guys. You know what I'm saying? Just to make them comfortable. Just so at least we can go in and just get what we need to get. Should I put on an accent? Hello, it is good to be here. Should I put on an accent? Should I put some baby powder on my knuckles and go in a little ashy? What? I don't know. I need some coon tips. I just don't know. I just want to go in there just looking coonish. I don't want to act too coonish, but I just kind of want to go in there just kind of make them comfortable. Go with a white woman, that might kind of throw them off too. I was thinking about that. Get a white woman to walk off in there, that might kind of throw them off. Like, oh, this nigga's out here fucking our women. Now, what are some good coon outfits that I need to wear? Like a sweatsuit with some church shoes or something? Something coon. What do coons wear now? I don't know. I've never had to go coon route. I've never had to go that route. Some of y'all have coons on your job. What do they come to work with? Some Buddy Lee jeans, what? Some capri pants and some dingy Air Force Ones, something. What do I need? I need something coonish, something to let them know I don't have no swag, a members only jacket and some biker shorts. I don't know, man. Give me some tips, guy. A sweater vest. How about a corduroy sweater vest? Something with no swag. I don't, because when I put on suits, you know, I be macking it up. I be, you know, looking mackish. Some penny loafers. Somebody said some penny loafers, some bifocals. What kind of shoes do coons wear? Oh, man. Yeah, I got to do something. I can't just look all solid and thorough and empowered. I just want to throw a hint out there to throw these people off. But yeah, give me some advice. Let me know what I need to do. So let me get into what we need to talk about. Oh, yeah, a fanny pack. Somebody said go in there with a fanny pack. What kind of cologne do coons wear? Maybe some Dracar cologne. I need a nice coon fragrance. What do coons smell like? Probably some shit from Liz Claiborne or something. I don't know. Somebody said an acid wash jacket. Oh, man. Yeah, I need to go in there with some kids. I need to go in there with some burgundy Reeboks. I don't know. I got to go in there looking like Steve Urkel or something. I got to come in there looking you know, throwing these folks off. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to make it do what it do. But anyway, let's get into some of the stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. And by the way, in Houston, there's going to be a screening of Buck Breaking on October 2nd with our brother Reza Islam. Reza Islam is going to be hosting out there in Houston at the George Floyd Center October 2nd. Get your tickets right now at buckbreakingmovie.com. Buckbreakingmovie.com. Buckbreakingmovie.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's talk about what we're going to talk about. Right now, a lot of people, they have Biden's remorse because of what's going down. Well, a lot of people had Biden's remorse because they see Biden ain't really doing nothing for black folks. Biden is being his white supremacist self. He's done everything we said he was going to do, which is nothing for us. And now with this thing going down on the border out there in Texas with all of these black Haitians caught up in these migration camps, and they're getting whipped by these white supremacists on horseback, and these images of these black Haitians getting whipped is going all around the world. And now a lot of the Biden sexuals are crying foul. A lot of these people who told us to vote for Biden, they're trying to cry foul about what's happening out there. Oh, a lot of the black folks who was on Team Democrat, they're crying foul. A lot of people are talking like they got Biden's remorse. All of these Biden sexuals, oh my God, how are they letting this happen? Some people are still in denial about a lot of stuff. But I don't really want to hear no complaints from the Biden sexuals. See, now that the catfish nugget, all of the catfish nuggets have digested, and all the black-eyed peas and free collard greens, now that you've digested that, reality has kicked in. All of you Negroes were telling us to vote for soul food. Y'all were telling us to vote because you were getting attention. Don't come crying now. Don't come crying to us. You got black folks out here with the Democrats literally crying out here. Don't cry now. Don't get mad now. Talking about how horrible everything is. No, let's not do that. You had people like Tamika Mallory and Angela Rye. Let me play clips of them. Here's Tamika Mallory. She was going off about what's going on down there. And Tamika Mallory was one of the main people out there telling people to vote. And she was Team Kamala, Team Biden. This is Tamika Mallory. Hold on.
Your hands. Children. And you got motherfuckers out there with whips? They gotta be crazy. And people just walking around business as usual. They got the nerve to be having a damn meeting at the United Nations. And this is what this damn country is doing to black people, to anybody. Hell no. Hell no. Hell no.
She's crying.
The whole damn country is in shambles. Totally off topic.
Okay. All right. So she's crying, literally crying mad. And her feet kept kind of breaking up and she was condemning Biden and, you know. Okay. Okay. All right. But y'all were the ones telling us to vote for Biden. Y'all were telling us to vote for Biden, though. Don't get Biden's remorse now. Then you have Angela Rye, who has a Haitian background, and here she is. Hold on. She's talking about the situation, and, you know, you got some people who still will not even call out Biden. They're still trying to put this on the damn conservative somehow. Hold on. This is Angela Rye.
Like so many of you, I have been traumatized by the images of Haitian migrants crossing the border or trying to cross the border to the tune of 14,000 people who just suffered an earthquake recently in Haiti, who just witnessed a presidential assassination in Haiti, seeking refuge in these United States of America. And in return, they get whips, like the Border Patrol is the damn overseer at somebody's plantation. Who put money in the federal budget for CBP to have whips? That's not humane activity. That's not humane behavior. That's not how we should be treating God's children. In a country that is so big on, especially on the conservative side,
on the conservative side. Did she really try to slip in putting this on the conservatives? No, that's your boy, Angie. That's your boy, Biden. Biden is co-signing all that stuff with the whips. And this is under Biden. Y'all not going to play that game. They're trying to flip it on the conservatives. Nah.
Especially on the conservative side. Loving on people, being about God and all of that. Tell me what part of God wants to whip on another human being. It is 2021. Whips have never been acceptable, but they damn sure ain't acceptable now. I'm sending love and peace for the Haitian migrants at the border.
Okay, no, y'all not going to do that now. Y'all not going to play the conservative. Y'all only talk about racism when you can put it on the conservatives. No, this is Plantation Joe. This is Uncle Joe's work right here. That's your boy, Joe. Joe Biden is co-signing this. This is under Joe Biden. They still trying to play that game. No, y'all not going to do that. Y'all not going to do that at all. And here's the thing. And I tweeted something earlier. I tweeted, hey, I ain't for no immigration at this point. That's not that point. No Afghans, Hispanics, Asians, Haitians at this point. Nobody. We shouldn't have anybody coming over like that in large numbers. We should close the gates to everybody trying to immigrate. That is my stance. Close the immigration gates right now. Now, some people might be shocked that I would think that. You shouldn't be shocked. Because, see, we have a problem with foundational Black Americans getting the resources that they need. Our people need resources at this point. We're already suffering here, and immigration don't work for us. It doesn't benefit us one iota. In fact, immigration from all forms and from all areas, it undermines foundational Black Americans. So I'm not co-signing any immigration right now. And the image of that one Haitian migrant getting whipped and by that race soldier, that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. I don't want to see any Black person getting whipped by no damn white supremacist. But I cannot put on the cape. You know why? Because that same dude, that image that we see of the dude getting whipped, man, we let that dude over here, that same dude getting whipped, you let him over here, and in 3 months, his ass would probably be on Fox News talking about, what about Black-on-Black crime in Chicago? Man, you let these folks over here, even if they're getting abused and beaten, man, we put out a lifeline for them to try to protect them. They get over here and flip. That's the problem. That is the problem. This is why I ain't putting on no capes. Remember some years ago, Candace Owens, who identifies as Caribbean, this was a person who foundational Black Americans rallied around because there was a racism case that she filed where she was being discriminated against and racially targeted. Foundational Black Americans supported her, ran to her rescue, got her a damn bag. She got thousands of dollars because of foundational Black Americans caping for Candace Owens. Now look at her. She turned and went full bedwinch mammy coon on us. Yeah, I ain't falling for the banana in the tailpipe no more, man. Yeah, that king face dude who was Haitian, who came over here cooning it up after all the fighting and struggling that we did to help get folks like him over. That king face nigga came over running around with the MAGA hat, cooning it up, and then he ended up dying, allegedly, of AIDS. You understand? I'm cool. Another one of these Haitian dudes, that Hotep Jesus dude, who's a troll for the white conservatives. He get around the white conservatives, cooning it up and trolling it up, talk on that what about black on black crime stuff. That's another Haitian dude. I don't have no cape for you. I don't have a cape for you. The cape is off. You feel me? I don't have no cape for you. What's going on is horrible. That's not a good look, but it ain't our problem. You see, when other folks come over here, they say they come over for better opportunity. There's more opportunity. More financial opportunity. There's more opportunity is why they come over here. And let me explain what that is when people say there's more opportunity when they come here. You know what the opportunity is? The opportunity is for them to get protected by foundational black Americans. That's the opportunity they're talking about. When they come over here and talk about, well, that came from better opportunity. Their opportunity is to get protection from foundational black Americans and to eat off what foundational black Americans fought for. That is the opportunity. Because let me tell you something. You can get opportunity anywhere. You can get opportunities damn anywhere. Let's be very clear. Foundational black Americans, we know how to go set up shop anywhere. You set us up somewhere, we get some damn money. We go anywhere and get some damn money. We know how to set up some shit. There's opportunity everywhere. But why do they choose here for opportunity? See, what other places don't have is foundational black Americans protecting folks. For example, the Haitian migrants that's in Texas right now. Why are they in Texas? Why are Haitians in Texas and not in Florida? Haiti is closer to Florida. Why are they all the way in Texas by way of Mexico instead of Florida? Well, here's the thing. A lot of the migrants, they were down there in South America for a while. See, they're... Angela Ryan, all these people are talking about earthquake, the recent earthquake. They're not here because of the recent earthquake. No. A lot of these Haitian migrants, they've been down there in South America for a long time. They've been down there in Chile. They've been down in South America, kind of roaming around South America and moving their way up through Mexico. So they've been in South America for a minute. The problem is, the discrimination there against them, they don't know how to play past that. See, they're down there roaming around South America, and those white Latinos are hella anti-black, and these Haitians don't know how to play past the racism of these white Latinos down there. They don't know how to play past that shit. They don't have us down there fighting the racism for them. They've been down there in Colombia. They've been all over South America dealing with the discrimination down there, and they don't know how to play past it, and they don't have us to fight for them. So they've been moving their way up. They went up to Mexico. The Mexicans are real funny style towards them. They don't know how to play past that racism there. So they want to get here so that we do all the fighting. We'll fight the racists for them so they can just eat. That's the deal all these groups want. They want to come around us. The opportunity is us. When they say opportunity, the opportunity is us fighting for everything while they eat and then just kind of coast while we get all the bumps and bruises for fighting. You understand? We're doing all the fighting for these damn groups. There's opportunities all over the place, man. That's why when we go down to these places, we can see how to get some damn money, and we know how to go and get it in. We go see what are the resources down there. Let's do some import export. Let's go set up shop somewhere. We know how to get it in as foundational black Americans, and we know how to play past the racism. That ain't nothing, because we ain't trying to get accepted by these people. So we ain't trying to get in with them. See, a lot of these folks come from these places. They come from Haiti. And I've been to Haiti many times. And a lot of times, they want to be accepted. by the white people. And when white people, or even white Hispanics, when they don't accept them, that messes with them. They're devastated by that. Yeah, we know, for us foundational black Americans, a motherfucker being racist, that don't mean we ain't tripping on you. All right, you racist, nigga, get the hell out of my way and show me where the money is. We ain't tripping on nobody being racist. We're used to that. When other folks, when people are racist towards them, that fucks up their soul. That just messes them all the way up. You understand? Because see, they even told themselves that they're not like regular niggas. Oh no, I'm different. I'm French. I'm a dark French. I'm a nigga, but I'm a French nigga. You know, they tell themselves those little kind of games. So they try to get in around these white people. They don't want to go set up shop. They don't want to get those resources and get on code with each other and build. And it devastates them, and they don't want to sit, and they damn sure don't want to fight these white supremacists down there. They don't want to fight them here. So they want to get around us because they know we'll step to these white supremacists. They know there's a limit of how much direct abuse that we will take as foundational black Americans. So they want to come sit behind us and let us be their shield while they're getting all the tangible benefits. So then they can jump on the other side and pull a Candace Owens or a Hotep Jesus talking about, well, damn, why don't y'all pull yourself up by your bootstraps like I did? You dig that kind of game? And I've had some folks, when I made my comment about how I'm not putting on the cape and I'm not for any immigration at this point, and that doesn't disparage some brothers and sisters here who come from immigrant backgrounds. You're cool. Some of you are cool. But we don't need, right now, there's just too many coons out here. We just don't have the time and the resources to vet coons, and they're not coming over being reinforcement for us. They're draining what limited resources we already have. So no, stay back home and get y'all shit together. So I had some people hopping in my comment section because my tweet went viral, and they were like, well, you're the nigga, you made the movie 1804. So I guess that was just for profit. So now they're trying to say, I made the movie 1804. Now I'm shitting on Haitians, which I'm not. I'm not shitting on anybody. I want you to be great in your homeland. I want you to be the best you can be in your homeland. I want you to build up and sustain your homeland. I want you to be the best you can be. But you made 1804, nigga. It was just for money. It was for money. Yes. And that proves the point that there is opportunity, because if I can go to Haiti and I didn't get any money or resources from the people there. I didn't get any money from the Haitian government. Not one Haitian person gave me money to make the movie 1804. That was my money that I invested in the movie. And I made a profit talking about that history. I profited from the opportunity that I created. So that shows you that you can create opportunity wherever you are. I have a best-selling movie about the history of Haiti. How come you naysayers didn't do that? You didn't do it. Y'all up here talking about ain't no opportunities. Yes, it is. It is opportunity. I was able to make a movie about Haitian history that became a huge bestseller. There is opportunity. How come you didn't do it? Because see, we got that foundational black American spirit. We can go set up shop anywhere. We gonna make us a buck. Because number one, we understand that our objective is to not be accepted by no damn white supremacist. We're not trying to get accepted by them. So we can go set up shop. And then when we try to do business with some of y'all, y'all get funny style with us. Let's go back to Haiti. I've been all over Haiti, and I've given people money, organizations money all over Haiti, by the way. You better not say shit about me. I done helped a lot of groups and organizations out there, and I wanted to do consistent business with the people down in Haiti, but folks was on some finessing shit. I was going to build houses out of my own pocket and give them to people out there just so we can see, so they could see that's a good faith gesture on our end, so that in return, y'all can do a dual citizenship project or allocate a certain plot of land for foundational Black Americans so that we can all just do business with each other on a sustained level. I tried to do that in Haiti. I was trying to do that in certain parts of Africa. Nobody was biting on it, man. When it's time to do some real business, y'all get funny style when it comes to foundational Black Americans. Y'all act real funny style when we come over there, and we ain't even trying to take nothing from you. All we want and all we ask for over there in these lands, just give us some real estate. Just give us plots of land. Just give us, open up a space of land. That's all you need to give us. If you, you don't have to give me no funds. Just say this plot of land is yours and then give us the green light and we're good. They won't even do that, man. They ain't even doing that, dude. They're not doing that. Let's stop bullshitting, man, and acting like all of these other places own some Wakanda, Pan Africa. They won't even give us plots of land, dude. They won't. Because they know we gonna go over there. You give us a plot of land, we'll turn that shit into a metropolis within a few years. And then that's gonna make them feel funny style. Like, damn, how did these niggas come over here in just a few years get this thing popping the way they did? We would make that shit pop all the way off, and they know that. But they got a bug in their ass about it. That's something that we're gonna have to be real about, man. That's something they're gonna, all right. That's why I'm like, look, we'll build here. If y'all don't want to do the Pan-Africanism thing, then, all right, cool. We'll build right here. We'll get things popping right here. The white supremacists are already doing funny style stuff, but we know how to play past that, and that's what we're doing now. But see, we got to watch folks and watch the white media, because they'll try to create some propaganda about how Black people are trying to go over to Africa. I just saw an article that came out in the news, and I'm gonna play a clip from it. Them trying to big up Ghana, try to make it seem like there's a bunch of Black people leaving for Ghana and leaving for Africa to escape racism. It's not a lot of us doing that. And plus, Ghana, you got to have all types of money. You got to start businesses. There's a lot of red tape for Black people to go over to Ghana. Ghana ain't just giving out land over there to nobody. Black folks, when we go somewhere, we got to go cash in hand. You ain't showing up naked on the shore with a bag of Spam and lunch meat and some baby wipes. You're not showing up naked, broke, dusty, and hungry on the shores of any other body's nation. When we show up, we're going to have tens of thousands of them things in our bank account. We got to get co-signed by somebody. They vet the hell out of us. They don't even let us touch their soil for a long period of time if we don't have the money right. They're like, nigga, all that Pan-African Wakanda bullshit is all right, but nigga, this is where the money resides. Show us where the money is, nigga. They want us to bring over money. Feed their economy. We got to go over there with big paper. But I saw this story of them talking about Black Americans resettling in Ghana. Now, this is a propaganda thing to try to make it, to try to get Black Americans to get up out of here because racism is so bad and we just got to leave to go where the racism is non-existent. And there's still white supremacy that dominates Ghana. Over there, by the way. Hold on.
We begin this hour with the story of an African country opening its arms to Black Americans. Ghana's tourism minister began encouraging African Americans to move there in 2019. As Black Lives Matter protests erupted, she said, quote, "You don't have to stay where you're not wanted." Deborah Pata spent time with one American who chose to make Ghana her home.
Ghana's Elmina Castle occupies a dark place in America's history. This used to be a central trading hub where African people from across the continent were bought and sold into slavery. Now, as the U.S. continues to confront its racist past, Ghana is turning that history upside down and welcoming Black Americans back home.
You know, I was living what people would consider the American dream. I was educated, professional, had friends. I was a socialite, but I never felt safe.
Sonjai Davis was the epitome of Washington cool. Connected, successful, a therapist trained to deal with emotional health, and yet she was constantly looking over her shoulder.
There is just so much unrest.
Davis believes trauma is embedded in her DNA, from the transatlantic slave trade to the Tulsa race massacre in 1921, where some of her family were
just. And I like how they try to put the racism in the past, that black people are just so traumatized because of past racism.
Laced.
I was beginning to take an emotional and psychological toll on me.
The trauma of racism?
It's the trauma. So my immediate thought all the time was, oh my gosh, you know, what if a police officer pulls me over? Am I going to be physically safe?
Oh, stop.
Am I going to come out of it alive?
Then George Floyd was murdered at the hands of a police officer, sparking global outrage that demanded this black life had to matter.
I was barely holding on. I could feel myself nearing a nervous breakdown.
Oh, stop.
And that's why I made the decision that I had to get out of there.
Okay, no. Okay, this is propaganda, guys. This is like, they love trying to sell this propaganda. I played another clip the other day, the same thing. They try to sell this propaganda. Well, black people, well, the racism is kind of bad, so why don't you leave? Why don't you just go somewhere, go to your other home? Your home is Ghana. Your home is, our home is here. No. Our home is here. A lot of us didn't, our families didn't go through Elmina Castle. See, this is, a lot of that is propaganda. Remember, less than 6% of the people taken from Africa made it to North America. It's a very small number of people taken from Africa during the slave trade that was brought to North America. Most of them were brought down to Brazil, South America, the Caribbean, all of those places, Central America. You understand? A very small percentage, but a lot of the black people were already here. A lot were already here. And we all just got mixed in and they just said, okay, y'all African now. But a lot of black people were black Aboriginal people. Remember the other day I was talking about the Salem witch hunt, and I was talking about a sister named Tituba, also pronounced Tituba or Tituba, but the name is pronounced Tituba. She was a black woman who was at the center of the Salem witch trial. She was a black Aboriginal sister, and they keep historically playing games with her lineage because they don't want to admit that Tituba was a black Aboriginal woman. Because during the trial, they kept referring to her as an Indian. And many Indians at the time looked like what black Americans look like now, but darker. They looked like had the woolly hair, black skin, the same phenotype. A lot of people who were classified as Indians look just like regular black people today. That's why at one point, Indian and Negro was damn near interchangeable in the Americas. And Sister Tituba was at the center of the Salem witch trial because she was teaching these white women voodoo. And they were like, God damn, this negress is out here doing all this shit. We're going to do something about that. You understand? But there were a lot of stories like that where there were black Aboriginal people that they act like they don't know their lineage. They act confused about the origin of these people because they don't want to admit that there were black Aboriginal people here and we have a legitimate claim to this land. The people that are claiming to be Native American are not even Native American now. That's the finesse because they know when we start, if you acknowledge that we are black Aboriginal people, well, damn, some of those damn Indian treaties are going to have to be expanded. See, they spent a long time, they spent years erasing our indigenous heritage by just telling us we all went through the Elmina Castle. There's a reason why they were calling all of these Indians Blackfoot and Choctaw and Tuscaloosa, which means black. And there's a reason why all of these Indians had these black names. You understand? This is why we got to get the history right. But no, we're not running. We're not going anywhere. This is our land. And our brother, William Nesbitt, and I talked about him before. He was part of an organization that really helped get the 14th Amendment popping to get citizenship for black people, full citizenship, because he went over there to Liberia. He went over there during slavery and he saw what was really happening over there. He was like, hey, this ain't us. Because they've been trying to sell the, hey, why don't you black folks just pack up and go to Africa? Ain't that your home anyway? And then William Nesbitt went over there and he saw the con game. He was like, wait, this is not us at all. This ain't nothing like us. What's going on over here? It ain't popping like they're saying it's popping. Folks are running around here naked. Bushes all sprung up everywhere. People just eating wild animals, little rodents and shit. People just eating them. He's like, hey, we don't, even in the worst slave quarters, we ain't living like this. They were saying this in like 1855 when slavery was still going on. So that's why William Nesbitt came over here and said, hey, we need to get our citizenship right where we are at home. Let's get our citizenship at home. Don't let them run this game on us trying to get us to come over, go over there. That's the finesse they're trying to run on us. You understand? But the thing is, when it comes to foundational black Americans, a lot of people want to come around us for protection. They want to get around us so they can get protected. Because see, we stand up to these white supremacists. Did y'all see the story up there in New York at what's the name of that restaurant up there? There's a bar or some kind of pub up there in New York where there's some controversy going on. There was some protest up there because is it Carmine's? This place called Carmine's. There were some sisters from Texas up there and they were sweating these sisters about their vaccination card. They asked the sisters to show the card and the sisters showed their card and I think the woman allegedly tried to say the card was fake or whatever, but then allegedly this white woman called these sisters the N-word and these sisters doubled back and whooped this white woman's ass. And then the sisters got arrested, but they let them go. And now there's a lot of brothers and sisters up there. I know my brother Hawk Newsom up there. Shout out to Hawk. They're up there protesting Carmine's, as they should. Trying to shut that joint down, as they should. That's the energy we are on. You know, we still have to step to the white supremacists on a regular basis. And by the way, those sisters, if they ever get into any legal issues with that whole situation, we got them. All they have to do is reach out to us. We're going to make sure those sisters are good. We're going to make sure they're good. Many black folks, if they get into situations like that, we make sure that they're good. You understand? So yeah, black folks are already in the streets right now checking that Carmine's place. See, we know how to step to these folks, these white supremacists. And family, I got to show y'all this clip. Speaking of stepping to, this happened in Cincinnati, Ohio. I got to show y'all this. This happened in Cincinnati. There was a daycare and there was a little black girl at this daycare. This was a white daycare and the male white daycare worker pushed this little black girl down real hard. I want y'all to see this, guys. I was pissed the hell off when I saw this. Now look at this. Hold on one second. Let me show y'all this, family. Hold on. Man,
Man. Dude. Man. Okay. Boy, y'all don't understand how pissed off this shit made me. Hold on. Oh, man, look, listen. So, family, in this story, I'm gonna let it play while I'm talking. Now, not even pick the girl up all crazy. Now, listen. Now, they done charged him and all that, but listen. Cincinnati is over 40% black. There's a lot of black folks in Cincinnati. There's a lot of black people in Cincinnati. A lot of black folks in Cincinnati. So I'm looking at this situation like, where am I? Because and there's some riders out there in Cincinnati. Listen, there's some riders out there in Cincinnati pushing this little black girl. And I'm thinking, okay, why do they have this little black girl, number one, in a white daycare? This is a white daycare, and Cincinnati has a lot of black people. Cincinnati is over 40% black, so why didn't they put the black girl in a black daycare, number one? And I'm thinking, this is Cincinnati. Cincinnati got some riders out there. How come a shoe is not stuck in this man's ass already? I'm like, wait, how come nobody from the girl's family done went up there and checked this damn white supremacist? And I know Cincinnati got some riders. I'm like, damn, I was confused. I'm like, Cincinnati got some. I got relatives in Ohio, so I know they're getting out. I got relatives all through Cleveland. I know they with the shits. So that whole energy out there in Ohio, I'm like, damn, the family didn't step to this dude? What's up with that? And this is why. This right here. That right there. That right there. Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. That right there. There you go. Okay. There we go. That's why. So I'm like, Cincinnati let that go down? I'm like, wait, I done been to Cincinnati. I roll with Cincinnati. They got some riders in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's with the shit, man. I'm like, wait a minute. What the hell? Some non-FBA parents sat up here and let that go down. Some non-FBAs. I'm like, why does, man, I got cousins all up in Ohio, man, who if I call them niggas now and tell them to ride out, they're like, nigga, what's the address? They so with the shits. They are with the business out there in Ohio, all over Ohio. So for that to go down, I'm like, man, come on. Charge it. Man, he would have, he had a pound of fat kicked off his ass to let that go down. See, that's why they want to come around us. And let me tell you something. That's why that big, fat, chunky-ass white supremacist knew he could kind of low-key get away with pushing that little, the little immigrant child. He knew he can get away with pushing that immigrant child. They kind of know who they can get away with that shit with. Yeah, they knew who they can get away with that with. You dig? And the... They got them up in that white daycare center with all those black folks. I know there's plenty of black daycare centers up there in Cincinnati, but they were like, we don't want our child around those Akata. Oh, no. Those our baby will not be around Akata, those niggas. We will not let our baby go to a nigga Akata daycare. You see? They didn't want their child to be put into an Akata daycare, so they went around these old funky, abusive-ass white supremacists and let that shit go down. You dig? That was horrible. Somebody said Fairfield is the suburb with immigrants. Oh, that's a suburb called Fairfield? Okay. Okay. Man. That's why they want to come around us so we can do the fighting for them. Because they ain't trying to step to these damn white supremacists. They ain't trying to mess your green card up or whatever. Y'all, you want us to do all the fighting for you. Huh? But the thing is, like I said, man, a lot of groups, we just don't really benefit from these other groups coming over. We just don't. They're not reinforcement. They ain't really trying to help us fight. They ain't really trying to help us step to white supremacy like that. They're just trying to keep their head down low so they don't get in no good trouble. You understand? So this is why they're always, notice they're always trying to finesse a narrative as if we got something from them, because they know we don't benefit from immigration at all. That's why we're so indifferent about what's going on now, as we should. It's not our problem. It's just not our problem. So notice a lot of people from immigrant backgrounds, they always try to create a narrative that we are getting something from them, or we got something culturally from them. This is why they love pushing that we got hip hop from Jamaicans narrative. And Busta Rhymes, again, Busta, he was on the 85 South show and he was doubling down on that. This is Busta doubling down on this false narrative that we got hip hop from Jamaicans. Here's Busta again pushing this lie. Busta's hell-bent on pushing this lie. Hold on.
Understand, this whole hip-hop shit was birthed from Jamaica. Like, Kool Herc is a Jamaican nigga. Okay. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The whole concept of having big-ass speakers stockpiled on top of each other and playing loud-ass music outside, that come from Jamaica. That's
no, it don't, man. Okay, we got... And I like Busta, but Busta going around telling these lies over and over again, we're just going to have to check him. Every time you tell the lie, we're going to have to check you on that, brother. That ain't true. The concept of busting and blasting loud music on big speakers did not come out of Jamaica. Black people were having block parties all during the 1940s and 50s. We were already doing that. My brother Dwan B put out a tweet. He said, if that's the case, if big loud speakers, if Jamaicans started that, what company manufactured those big speakers? What Jamaican company? Because those speakers came out of America, meaning we had access to those speakers. Those big Jamaican sound system speakers, they weren't being manufactured in Jamaica. They were being made here. So you just thought they flew past us and went to Jamaica? We had access to those big speakers. In fact, when Kool Herc came over, it was people like Disco King Mario. He had all of that equipment. Some of those DJs in Brooklyn had some of those big sound systems. They had big sound systems all in New York before Kool Herc, guys. Y'all learn history. Dudes in New York had those big speakers. You had those DJs busting and blasting music on big speakers in New York, man. Come on. We got to check these lies, and these are things that's been verified.
And the whole concept of having big-ass speakers stockpiled on top of each other and playing loud-ass music outside, that come from Jamaica. That's dancehall culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
and dancehall, that came from a foundation of black American musician. They got a riff. It was a certain piano riff that he made, and it was a brother from Tennessee, from what I understand. They got that riff from a record made by a foundational black American, which became the foundation of ska and dancehall music. Okay.
Herc brought dancehall culture to the U.S. and gave birth to hip-hop.
No,
culture.
He didn't. No. No. I mean,
so cool. Herc brought dancehall culture to the U.S. and gave birth to hip hop.
That's not true. Damn, that ain't true. Kool Herc did not bring no damn dancehall culture to the United States, because Herc wasn't playing dancehall. Herc wasn't playing dancehall. And they keep lying on Herc, and Herc's own words contradicts these lies. Herc was listening. Yeah, Roscoe Gordon was the brother who made that record that became the foundation for ska and dancehall music. But Kool Herc, even he said in Jamaica, he was listening to James Brown. Herc even said out of his own mouth, he wasn't playing no Jamaican or dancehall music at the jams, at the B-boy jams, because the B-boys didn't want to hear that shit. Herc has said this repeatedly. I don't know why people insist on lying on Herc when Herc has already said himself he wasn't playing Jamaican or dancehall music because foundational black Americans weren't trying to hear that slow shit. We were dancing. We were trying to get up and boogie at a damn jam to James Brown and all of these other folks. We weren't listening to no damn dancehall in Jamaican. We weren't. And if that was the foundation for hip-hop, how come they're not doing what hip-hop is in Jamaica? How come they're not doing it in Jamaica? You dig?
You know what I'm saying? So Kool Herc brought dancehall culture to the U.S. and gave birth to hip-hop culture. The only thing that changed was the type of music that was played.
Now you're contradicting yourself, Buster. Now, Buster, this is a contradiction. He brought dancehall. The only difference is the type of music the type of music was changed. Then he wasn't playing dancehall then. So you say he was playing dancehall, and then when he got here, he wasn't playing dancehall no more. So the lie contradicts itself. The lie is contradicting itself. Buster can't even get the lie straight. Buster is contradicting his own lie. Yeah, you're admitting you said he brought dancehall, but then he wasn't playing dancehall. Then it wasn't dancehall. Damn.
To hip-hop culture, the only thing that changed was the type of music that was played and how it was played.
Okay. And again, I think Buster at this point knows that that's a bunch of bullshit, but the narrative has to be, you foundational black Americans benefited from us somehow. This is really what the narrative is about. They have to paint a narrative that we somehow benefited from them, which we did not. No disrespect, we just didn't benefit from you. Everything you got, everything you brought over here, or you didn't really bring anything that we used. We didn't benefit from you here. We just didn't. We already had a foundation of black American culture that was already thorough, that was already sustained. And hip hop just became elements of foundational black American culture. I've said this many times. Everything in hip hop, all the elements came from foundational black Americans. We can trace it all the way back going decades and decades. Graffiti came from a foundational black American as we know it, the modern graffiti, cornbread out of Philadelphia. Breakdancing and b-boying came from James Brown and the Nicholas Brothers. You can go back and look at certain breakdance moves in old movies from the 1930s and 40s where dudes was damn near doing windmills, dudes was doing moonwalks, all of the b-boy moves that brothers was doing later on, we've been doing that. Even rapping, rhyming over syncopated beats, we were doing that going back to the 1920s on record. DJs with two turntables. There were black DJs all over the country using two turntables. Speakers and block parties. We was doing block parties in the 30s, 40s, 50s. We've been doing that. You understand? We've been doing that. So this is why we have to understand our history. And we have to tell our history and we have to take control of our history. This is why I cannot wait to bring you the museum, ladies and gentlemen. This museum is going to be such a beautiful thing. And we're going to get this thing knocked out. We're playing past all the BS. We are foundational black Americans. Man, we are powerful. We are survivors, man. We know how to get things popping. And that's why people want to come and get the opportunity to get protected by us. When you talk about opportunity, that's what the opportunity is. The opportunity to have foundational black Americans kick in the door and get tangible resources and protection for all these other groups. Anyway, y'all, that's been tonight's broadcast. Everybody, don't forget, man, hit that link. Get the new EP, pre-order right now, the new Funk on Wheels EP. Get that right now. Pre-order right now on iTunes. If you have iTunes, you get it half off. You pre-order the Funk on Wheels EP, you're going to get it half off right now. Everybody listening, 5,000 of you, all 5,000 of you, pre-order. It's only $5. It'll be the full $9, $10 when you get it on October 1st. But if you pre-order now, you get it for $5. Get the new Funk on Wheels EP. We're going to have a brand new video premiering next week on the live, on the eve of the EP release. So we're going to have us a fun time here. It's a very fun video. It's called Slide to You. We're going to premiere that next Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all subscribe to this channel, tune in, and I will holla at you guys this Sunday. Y'all be good.